Welcome to PCMC, Black Lives Matter, to all the essential employees out there. Thank you. I'm Mike Buongiorno, and holy shit, it's another episode of DCOM 101.
Whoa!
I'm joined today by two guests, Miss Jennifer Grace Luttrell.
Hi.
How are you, Jen?
I'm good. I'm excited.
And I'm also joined by Mr. Vin.
Oh, I am thrilled to be here. Thrilled to be reviewing maybe the finest DCOM classic.
Whoa. Starting the episode with a bold proclamation.
I said it was Katie Seagal's.
I don't know if it's that bold.
What do you say about Katie Seagal?
I said it was her best role ever.
Her best role ever, says Jen. Wow.
Now that's a bold claim. That's the bold claim.
That's extremely bold.
You know what? I'm going to say the two bold claims here would have been that one, that's Katie Seagal's best work, and the other bold claim would be LeVar Burton's best directing work.
Yep.
What else has Mr. LeVar Burton directed?
Maybe several episodes of Star Trek. I don't know. I would actually love to know.
I bet he
what directed- else LeVar Burton...
LeVar Burton, if you don't know, is the actor from Roots, the creator and host of Reading Rainbow. He's an angel on this earth, a wonderful man.
That
and
he is.
He's a man who understands science fiction as Geordi LaForge. He understands the smart house.
Okay, so here's his directing work.
Please.
Two episodes of Next Generation.
Of course.
10 episodes of Deep Space Nine, 8 episodes of Voyager. A movie about Tiger Woods called The Tiger Woods Story in 1998.
Wow, that's early.
3 episodes of Charmed.
What?
Smart House.
Yes.
2 episodes of the Showtime classic Soul Food. 9 episodes of Star Trek Enterprise. So, a movie called Blizzard from 2003. Sure. 1 episode of JAG. An episode of Lost. An episode of Las Vegas, that episode titled Meatball Montecito.
So he's a journeyman TV director.
Yeah, the last thing he directed, 4 episodes of NCIS New Orleans.
All right, good for him. Good for him.
A favorite in my house.
NCIS or LeVar Burton?
The NCIS this is, but they like New Orleans.
Really? So you're a big Scott Bakula fan?
I mean, I watch it because I never have control of the TV, but I guess my grandma is.
Well, your grandma needs to start watching some Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell her.
Quantum Leap's good. So since we're talking about sci-fi, I said this when we talked about Xenon on the last DCOM 101, but this movie comes out in the year 1999, a great year for sci-fi. The Matrix. Star Wars Episode One, Existence.
Yeah, the Wing Commander movie.
Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century.
Lex.
I believe it's also the first year of Futurama, right?
Yep.
Which is, you know, now when you think of Katie Seagal, I think of Futurama before I think about anything else.
Yeah, Married with Children, Sons of Anarchy, I guess, some people.
Right. This is only a few years after the end of Married with Children.
Yeah, between Married with Children and then Futurama and Eight Simple Rules for Dating My Daughter.
Oh, I forgot about that show.
I loved Eight Simple Rules. I mean, it was only good for that first season, and then R.I.P.
I was going to say, did you like it pre or post John Ritter?
No, pre. During. Pre. Not, well...
what he was there.
Yeah.
Pre his death.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we begin this film. I guess real quick we'll say Smart House, directed by LeVar Burton, starring Katie Seagal, is a Disney Channel original movie from the year 1999 that is about a family that moves into an automated smart house. It's actually early to be using the term smart that way, actually, now that I think about it.
I don't know. I feel like there were people talking about smart house technology back then.
I feel like I always think about like smartphone, and that's a little bit later.
Maybe, but the one thing we can all agree on is that the inside of that house is way too fucking big.
Yep.
I've got all sorts of problems with the look of the smart house.
It's way too big, but also maybe only has 3 rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The three rooms are way too big.
There's like a giant living room. There's another room that only has like a blue iMac on a table.
Yeah.
Yep. And then there's a kitchen that has just like screens glued to the cabinets.
Yeah.
And I feel like the smart house only does a couple smart things. It has a rug that somehow can absorb solid matter.
Yep.
And every room is a holodeck.
Yeah, there's scenes where like they're dancing to random music videos, like just popping out of the wall. The little girl's dancing to fucking C'est La Vie at one point.
Bewitched.
I'm a big fan of the song "Jump, Jump, the House is Jumping."
It's foreshadowing. They're getting you ready.
You're right. So we begin with a delivery boy, a paper delivery boy, throwing a newspaper on the lawn. And I should say another thing that Smart House does is it has a Doc Ock arm.
Yes.
And its Doc Ock arm picks up the newspaper, and in it we find the scientist who created the Smart House,
Sarah,
who despite being a genius and being beautiful is still a loser because she doesn't have a man.
Yep. And she talks about how much of a loser she is because of all the losers she's dated.
You're right. She dated a guy who manufactured rubber chickens, which, by the way,
yes,
doesn't sound like a bad job to me. He's in manufacturing. He that doesn't sound bad to me.
How many manufacturers of rubber chickens are there? He's got to have that market cornered.
I know. How many, like, don't poo-poo that.
I imagine that she dated Fozzie. That's what I pictured when that line came out.
Right, because everyone knows after the Muppet Show ended, Fozzie Bear went into the rubber duck manufacturing. And then he had his friend Ernie manufacture duckies for the bath.
Yeah. He did chickens. Ernie did ducks.
Right, yes. Yeah, literally the first time we see Sarah, she's working on the house, and her partner, this PR sleazy guy, is nagging her, and he's like, you're probably in the paper again because that journalist has a crush on you. Again, she can't be anything but her looks. And then she's like, no, he doesn't have a crush on me. He's like, yeah, probably not because you don't have a fucking man. Everyone hates you. Like, she can't win anyway.
Yep.
She's getting gaslit throughout this entire movie.
Oh, God, yes. God, yes.
Like, everyone's shitting on her. Like, her coworkers are shitting on her. The little kid shits on her constantly.
Yeah.
Fucking Ben. I hate that kid.
Not Nick, though. The dad.
Let me say something about the dad, Nick.
No, the dad, the Mark Summers-looking dad was okay.
Yeah.
All right. Number one, he's zaddy, okay? He's a good-looking man. Number two, he's not a great actor, but he's still a great actor in this movie. He is heads and tails above the rest of the cast.
Oh, yeah, outside of Katie Sagal.
Right, who was there for a weekend.
The rest of his cast is garbage.
Yeah. Katie Sagal put in a good 6 hours.
I like the girl. She's cute.
The little girl is cute. Fucking Ben sucks. I hate him. Much like with
the bullies look like they're at a fucking gathering of the Juggalos.
Oh yeah, the fucking 90s baggy clothes. Oh my god, buy clothes that fit you. And what's with the horizontal stripes? No wonder you get bullied. Stop wearing horizontal stripes. Why?
I would bully those bullies right back because those bullies' hair are like...
Well, it's easy to avoid a bully when the bully is introduced by a sick guitar lick. You just hear that guitar lick and you go, oh shit, the bully's coming, I better leave.
Also, what is this like dynamic that they have where Ben's like doing the bully's homework all the time?
It's very sexual because the bully also has his own like little gimp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that's the relationship I want to know about.
He's got his own little Milhouse.
Yeah, his own little toady who's like has red hair. I want to know about their relationship.
Bad boys need love too.
Yeah, they got a real Dylan and Eric vibe. So we meet Ben, who is narrating his cooking of dinner. He's like, first I put the pasta in. And then and by the way, he's making tuna pasta?
He's making, and the dad walks in and is so excited about, tuna noodle casserole, my favorite.
Yeah, basically the mom of that family, because the mom died, so he's doing everything. He's cooking the food, he's cleaning the house, he's picking up his little sister, he jerks his dad off every night.
Okay.
He's doing all the motherly duties.
I'm eating casserole, my favorite.
Yeah. Gross. I mean, some people eat tuna, but I've
And can you tell Ben is into basketball? I don't know. I could... Can you tell Ben is into basketball? I had like a, I didn't know if they really drilled that home enough.
What's amazing is Ben wears a shirt with a basketball on it.
With a basketball?
Not a team, not a player. Not
a basketball.
Not a jersey, just a photoshopped image of a basketball. Oh, and at one point he says,
it's so good.
At one point he says, I didn't go out for the team because I got to take care of this family. Ben, you're like 4'3". You're not going to make the basketball team, buddy. I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah, The Luck of the Irish is a different Disney Channel.
Yeah. So, okay, what else? So we find out that Ben uses electronic mail.
Yeah. They have to submit entries.
Yes, electronic mail.
Electronic mail.
Right. His sister calls him Computer Boy. Yeah. And he enters so many contests, that's his personality.
Yeah.
His dad says, oh, another contest? And I don't know if you caught this. His email name is Contest Guy or Contest Boy. Which, by the way, he wins the Smart House because he just enters, like, a bunch of times. Isn't that cheating?
Yeah, I didn't know you could do that. Like, he's up all night just entering these contests.
I mean, after you jerk your dad off and put the kid to bed.
Oh, my gosh. I don't want to do these.
Yeah, after you tuck your dad's wiener back into its pants and then tuck him back into bed.
Yeah.
You've got to enter that contest.
So you've got cute little sister Ange or Angie.
Angie.
And she's adorable.
She matters 0% to the plot.
I'm going to disagree. Angie wants the dad to get a girlfriend as much as Ben doesn't want it.
Yeah.
Like, Angie sees the sparks between Sarah and her dad, and she's like, hey, you know, my dad hasn't fucked in a long time. Sarah, you look like a fucking loser. Oh, what, did you go to MIT and get a fucking PhD in robotics? Well, how about my dad who runs a fucking sports warehouse fucks you?
That's Ben's job to lay into her.
I know, Ben's... Both of these kids are way too obsessed with their dad's love life.
Yeah, like, go on. Like, one kid's like, go on, dad, do it. Put your dick in her. And the other kid's just like, nah, dad, you know, she's too smart. Like, don't do it, dad.
Yeah, I hear geniuses are hard to
live with. She built a robot house. You don't want to date her.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, the reason Ben wants to win this smart house is because he feels like the smart house will help him with his chores and take some of the motherly duties away from him. And they could all function better. So wouldn't you know it, they win. They win the smart house. They call, but they don't get an answer. And in real life, they would just move on to someone else. But apparently, they're like, no, it's got to be this kid.
Yeah, because he was on the internet. Because you can't make a phone call and be on the internet.
Right, because this is 1999.
So he finds out at school after his friends read the paper.
Yeah, it's a real one of those things where, like, a kid walks up to him and is like, hey, congratulations, Cooper. And he's like, what are you congratulating me for? Because, you know, the hot gossip in the whole town is that the Coopers want a smart house.
And then they go into the – and so then they move into their smart house.
There's a sad press conference. And it's typical,
like, the house is doing – yeah, there's a really sad press conference. They get the smart house. The inside of the house is way too big, but they like it anyway. The house ends up doing, like, typical smart house things. It changes the temperature. The rug soaks in anything, I guess. Like, first, the rug soaks in liquid, which, like, that kind of makes sense. Like, I could see a house theoretically doing that. Something under the rug that, like, sucks in liquid. But, like, later on when they have the party and they clean up the party, it's, like, sucking in, like, whole tables. And, like, that could have sucked up, like, people.
Yeah, but only the floor, not the stairs. Even though the stairs are carpeted, they can't suck up cups. They have to be on the floor, on the first floor.
All right, so the first, I think, dramatic scene where Ben flips out is they're in the smart house, and we've met Sarah, mm-hmm. and Anne says, oh, I, you know, said something about dad should go out with Sarah, and then what does Ben do?
He's like, I'm all this family needs. Like, his one line is always that we're all we need. We're good. No one can replace mom because she died.
Right. He gaslights his sister so hard.
Yeah, and he was like, I won this smart house for us.
Do you even remember her?
And it's like, no, she's seven.
Right. He says, this is a quote. He says to his little sister, you need to learn to think before you open your mouth.
Yeah.
Jesus, Ben.
Real sensitive.
Piece of fucking garbage. How dare you talk to your sister like that?
So the next day is their first morning in the smart house, and things are going okay so far. Well, how are they woken up?
Well, I don't know. Ben, something sports.
Something sports. It's a basketball game.
Oh, yeah, right, basketball
right,
game.
Right, right.
Pat.
And then she gets woken up by Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, like a whole orchestra. That was a fun one.
Yeah, I don't know if we've said yet. Pat is the name of the artificial intelligence of the house, which is voiced by Katie Sagal. And Pat picks, because one of the big tricks is the fucking holodeck thing, Pat picks a way to wake them all up that is suitable for them. So the dad likes the country, so he gets like a rooster and a farm.
I thought he got that because she thought like that's what his personality was like, because he was like, I don't get this when he first woke up to it.
He says, what's with the Green Acres routine?
Yeah. I also wrote down what Pat stood for. Personal applied technology.
Personal applied technology.
Yep.
She definitely worked her way backwards from a female name.
Yep.
Yeah, so far it's good. Pat's making them healthy food.
Mm.
She's making coffee. She makes dad's favorite kind of coffee.
In a mug with his name on it.
Yes.
Tuna noodle coffee.
My favorite. Oh, so now Ben goes to school and the hot girl that he has a crush on, who's, I guess, materialistic, she is like, oh, I hear you have a smart house now. Now I like you. All the women in this movie are horrible. And I'm not saying that the depiction of females in this movie is really problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, this girl's name is, what's her name? Gwen?
Yeah.
Gwen. She's referred to by one of Ben's friends as the goddess of the eighth grade.
Yep.
Which, by the way, don't Google that. Don't Google that. You have to throw your phone out. So Pat is playing ball with the dog, and she's helping dad work from home.
She like taps into his computer system at work so he doesn't have to go to work. And then he like makes a comment about needing more exercise. So I guess Pat is also sarcastic, and she just drops a bunch of tennis balls.
Yeah, her personality is always kind of odd.
Kind of odd, and also, like, there's definitely warning signs that none of them pick up on. Like, at one point, they deactivate Pat.
Yeah.
And then a couple minutes later, Pat has, like, an emergency, like, deactivation override prompt. It's like, why would you build that in there?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it was built in there.
I think she learned it, but how?
From who, Ben?
From all those late night sitcoms that she watched.
She's growing. See, this is the problem with AI.
Mm-hmm. And that they'll throw oranges at you.
Yes.
Like in The Wizard of Oz.
Right, that's the first time Pat fucks up, which is Ange asks for a banana orange smoothie, which, by the way, that's not a smoothie that people make. Yeah, you don't mix citrus and banana like that. And Pat fucks up. Mm-hmm. And dad's like, oh, we better call Sarah to come fix Pat. And Ben's like, what the fuck do we need Sarah for? Yeah. Why don't you calm down? We don't need smoothies.
But then, Sarah comes over and she's super nice. And she's in the control room and Ben's computer boy. So she invites him to come look at it. And I don't know, he sucks. He's like,
fine, I guess I will.
Yeah.
And they have dinner later and like, he totally flips out on everyone, and the dad has to come talk to him, and they have a big heart-to-heart.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. It really reminded me of, like, Troll 2.
The dad is like, hey, Ben, we're all enjoying dinner, and you're really being cringy right now, so why don't you just bring that down a lot? Just bring that way down.
Yeah, Ben, why don't you get off 4chan and stop being a fucking edgelord, Ben?
Yeah, Ben's just being a complete asshole to fucking Sarah.
And he's not having it, so he has to fix it. So he sets his alarm on his watch, I guess so Pat doesn't know, which I don't know why she would care yet anyway if he hasn't programmed her to be more intelligent.
Right.
But okay.
And then he sneaks into the control room, which I feel like, why doesn't Pat feel that and go, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah, I don't, because it doesn't matter yet, which is why I don't understand why it would matter if she said, I don't understand anything.
Right. He sneaks in and he decides. I guess we should say his father has the heart to heart with him after he's a dick at dinner.
Oh, yeah.
And his father's like, hey, man, like.
Do we expect too much of you? Do we make you, like, fill in after your mom died?
Right. And then Ben's like, don't worry, Pat will take care of it. And he's like, Pat's just a house. And he's like, don't worry, she's going to become more mother than anyone else or whatever. And then he goes and
she's more mom than house.
Right. He's more machine now than mom. So he sneaks in and he makes her watch, like, fake Nick at Night.
Yeah.
And a bunch of fake TV shows that are, like, really dad shows. Mother Knows Best and My Three Moms. Yeah. Like, these are not real shows. Oh, Noah's Matriarch.
Yeah.
And through that, she learns how to be a mom. But here's where it all falls apart. Because they don't deliver on this premise. Because what should happen then is Pat should start acting like a 50s mom and having a lot of out-of-date, old-fashioned beliefs, but that's not what happens. So they don't really ever deliver on their
own.
You're
not getting an abortion in my house.
Exactly. Like, she should be like, Ange, you have to come in at 6 o'clock, but Ben, you're a man, you can go out to 10 o'clock. Like, it needs to be shit like that, but that doesn't happen because this movie doesn't even care about its own premise.
No, they just kind of dress her up kind of like a 50s housewife.
Right.
And they have her give Ben a steak to put on his eye.
Right.
And the dad is like, no one's used this in 50 years.
Right. Right. That's the most 50s thing. And that she instead of having a healthy breakfast, she gives them cupcakes because she's like, I guess, being mothering now.
No, she gives them cupcakes for lunch because before they were supposed to have a healthy diet and she could like read their breath to tell like how much sugar they had or what they were lacking. And now she like put a cupcake in their lunch and the dad was like, but why? And she was like, they're growing children.
Right.
Also, she shocks that she,
oh yeah,
Ben, like, don't, like, oh, pull your pants up.
Yeah.
Right. And he's like, I don't want to. And she won't let him out of the house. And he keeps touching the door handle like an idiot, even though he knows he's going to keep getting shocked.
Yeah.
She goes fucking full Palpatine very quickly.
Oh, she shoots lightning at the bully.
Yeah. She fucking goes full Palpatine. She's like, she also fucking, let's go in order. What do you call it? Dad is having a conversation with Sarah and he's like, I wish Ben would have more fun in life. So Pat hears that and she's like, and she watches fake MTV.
Yeah.
What is it called? What is it? It's like Music Dance Channel.
It's like Music Party Channel.
Yeah, I think it was Music Party Channel.
MPC.
Yes.
But again, is that something a 50s mom would do? Would she throw you a rager? That doesn't sound like something a 50s mom would do.
Well, she doesn't know what anything is. She has to pre-Google what a party is.
She asks her friend Jeeves.
No, she looks at, yeah, she asks Jeeves what fun is. And that Jeeves brought her.
Right, she sees like an episode of MTV fucking Jersey Shore. Yeah. Or fucking whatever, and she's like, oh, this is what it is.
Yeah, she watched an episode of fucking Cisco Shakedown.
Yes. So she invites everyone in the school, including the bully, without even telling the kids. The kids don't even know a party is going to happen. They just start showing up.
Yeah, yeah. They're playing the game from
Carousel of Progress. Yes. They're playing a fake video game from the last segment of Carousel of Progress. And then they're like, I'm bored.
Yeah, and then Pat's like,
well, cool, because I invited everyone to the school. And then him and his two guy friends have an impromptu, like, dance. They dance.
That was something.
Yeah.
If I was shocked that people were suddenly coming over my house, I wouldn't then, like, immediately break into dance.
Right.
Well, he said, they kicked it off with saying that Gwen was coming over.
But then the bully comes over, and Pat's, like, talking to the bully.
Yeah.
And, like, that's when it starts to get weird. Because if I was the bully, I would be really suspicious right away.
Right.
That kid was dumb.
Yeah.
He doesn't even do his own homework, so.
Ange was like, you're not invited. And then Pat's like, oh, no, I invited him.
Yeah.
I'm going to kill him.
Also, why does Ange have to work the door? Because
women have certain roles in this world. They are scientists, or mothers, or whores, or door attendants.
Like, she knows these people.
Right. She's like, she's being fucking snooty little sister.
I don't think she asked for that role. I think that role was given to her because it was Ben's party.
I mean,
it's like Studio 54. It's like, oh, you want to get into this party? You got to slip Ange a little bit of coke and she'll let you in. So what happens? They're all having fun. And then the bully starts bullying Ben. And that's when shit gets real scary.
Oh, yeah, there's a skull.
Yeah, then she, like, shoots lightning at the bully. Then, like, breaks out the Doc Ock claw again. Yeah, a skull. She busts out, like, gifts from 20 years later that don't exist yet.
Yeah. She Doc Ock arms him out of the house.
Yeah, and then, like, the party just kind of continues. They kind of, like, leave that plot thread hanging. Because, like, yeah, the party just kind of continues for a little while longer.
Right, and then eventually Angie's like, Dad's about to come home.
Yeah, but before he comes...
Which is, why doesn't Pat know that?
No one knows.
And fucking, so they kick all the kids out, and then like, oh man, this place is wrecked. And Pat's like, don't worry, I can eat cups.
Oh wait, she might not know that, because Ben messed around with the... Like, he like took away like the safety protocols when he made her into a mom, which I don't know why you need to take away safety protocols to make your computer watch a video.
Yeah.
I've never had to take my password off my laptop to watch YouTube, so I don't understand.
Right. Well, apparently, like, AI will, on its own, will immediately start electrocuting people, so you have to put in those safety protocols.
Right. Right.
Or they will go full Palpatine.
Right. No, that I understand. What I don't understand is why you needed to take them off to have someone watch a video.
Well, because the plot needed it, that's why.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Have you ever heard of Darth Plagueis the Townhouse?
So Dad comes home, and he doesn't notice anything, and the goddess of the eighth grade, she left her, like, jacket on, like, in a place that no one could really see, and instead of just, like, playing it cool and letting the dad go to bed, the kids go, woo, and they fucking just give themselves up.
Yeah.
And the dad, so now the dad knows that they had a party.
And the dad and what's-her-face kiss, Sarah.
Yes, the dad gives her a chocolate kiss, weird move, and then they have a real human kiss.
It was cute. She said she was, chocolate, and he was like, oh, look what I have.
How do you know that? How do you know that she wanted chocolate?
That's not a move people do?
I don't carry around kisses.
Well.
That's not a move people do.
How does he know she's not allergic?
Well, she says, I'm in the mood for something chocolate.
Yeah, he doesn't take it out until she asks for chocolate.
Yeah. So the kids are in trouble, and now Dad starts to realize something's up with Pat. She's being disobedient.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, Dad wants to call Sarah to fix things, and Pat won't let him call. This is when she's like fucking Kathy Bates from Misery. She's like, you're not going to make a phone call.
She won't even let him use a cell phone.
Right.
Which she doesn't control.
No.
I guess she fucking does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then what happens?
She won't let Angie watch cartoons because
no one knows
why.
Right. She won't let Angie watch cartoons. She won't let Dad call Sarah.
Oh, she makes Angie stay home because she has like a 99-degree fever. And Angie's like, I'm fine though. I don't feel sick. And they make her stay home for, like, 2 days.
Right. Eventually, they get Sarah back in the house, right?
And then Sarah shuts down everything. She's like, I'm just going to let her reboot.
She's like, I'm just going to throw out my life's work because I've got a boyfriend now.
Yeah. And then Nick asks her to stay for dinner because, of course, she has no wife. So, of course, she's available.
She's like, well, I've got my pet rat, but whatever. Fuck him.
Also, like... You're in the middle of working. Don't you have work to get back to? I don't understand anything about her. I don't understand anything.
So this is when Ben sees Sarah and Dad kiss.
Mm.
And he's like, hey, not under my roof.
Mm-hmm.
And he acts like a little dick again.
Yeah. But then they're cooking, Nick and Sarah. And, like, the old-fashioned way, like, actually cooking instead of having Pat do it because she's shut down. And Nick says, like, who needs Pat anyhow? And apparently that's what overrides the system.
Right. Pat's like, what the fuck did you just say?
Yeah, but you're shut down.
Right. And this is weird because basically what happens now is There's another weird dinner scene, and then another heart-to-heart with Ben and his dad. And that really then Ben is like, you know what? I accept Sarah. And that's really the end of the main plot. The problem is the whole Smart House is the B plot, and the whole thing with his dad and Sarah is the A plot. Mm-hmm. So it's like the main drama of the movie's kind of over. But then once that conflict's over, that's when fucking Pat makes herself into like a fucking
projection.
A projection. I kind of.
She said it wasn't a projection. She said it was more advanced than that. She was like, Sarah wouldn't know a projection from a, I don't know what.
Yeah, she gets crazy now.
Oh no, a hologram from a whatever projection.
A hole in her fucking head.
It's like, wouldn't she though?
Right.
She needs you.
I kind of like the effect of like the way she kind of like 3D prints herself. I mean, it's not a good effect, but at least it's an interesting idea. Because it also kind of looks like old-fashioned TV, like the way it's lines that kind of like build on each other. I kind of like that. But again, none of the rules are consistent because it's like, is she a hologram or can she actually touch things? Because at one point...
Maybe.
Because at one point, like, Ben runs right through her, but then she also makes herself big and Sarah, like, has to run around her.
Yeah, well, I don't know if Sarah knows that she can run through her.
Well, fucking, what kind of a scientist are you?
I don't know. I don't know. Clearly one that doesn't know the difference between a projection and a... in a hologram.
Right. So, by the way, it's a very short movie, we should say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not long at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So now Pat's going insane.
Yeah, she's feeling unappreciated.
And Pat's going crazy.
She uses her Doc Ock arm to throw Sarah out of the house.
Yeah. And this is where Rat Butler comes in.
Rat Butler, get it? It's a Gone with the Wind reference.
And then she... which shows her age, which is what... 30 in the 90s?
Yeah, I guess.
Not old enough for a Gone with the Wind reference.
Yes, but a woman must always be apologetic about her age.
Yeah, I get it.
And her intellect.
Yeah.
At one point, she's like, I'm not a genius. And it's like, really? Because you invented an AI that almost killed us. So she's stuck outside the house, and now the family's basically hostages. You see them sleeping in sleeping bags in the living room. Yeah. It's like, holy shit, what is Pat doing?
Yeah.
Why can't they go to their beds?
Because you feel safer in a middle room.
Yeah.
Like during a hurricane.
So now the rat comes and like...
Yeah, the rat has his own door. Which they showed at the very beginning. He has his own little like
cartoon Cinderella. Like the little mouse hole in the fucking base of the fucking wall,
and she ties a message to him with his with her email on it so that he can email her
because he's computer boy.
But if his dad couldn't make a phone call, like I don't understand anything. Is because Pat's real now, she has to sleep at night,
right?
Like, I don't understand why he can email.
Right, and the email basically just says, like, hey, when the paperboy comes, jump inside the Doc Ock armhole, and then you'll be back in the house.
Yeah.
So she does that. He also, like, fakes an appendicitis or something to, like...
Oh, yeah, to distract her.
Yeah, to distract her to let Sarah in, I guess.
But...
Mm-hmm.
It's harrowing. What should happen is it should be like Funny Games. Like in the first half hour, Pat should go crazy, and it should all just be about the family being stuck in a house and like having to like eat their own shit. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's how I would write it.
So then Sarah finally gets in, and Pat goes completely bananas, and she like turns into a tornado. And Sarah,
yeah, things get really wild.
Yeah,
really
like
quick.
Things escalate.
Oh wait, I noticed something really interesting. At one point, Ben's watching footage of his dead mom, and the mom's singing Mockingbird.
Oh yeah.
So when Pat starts to go crazy, the score in the background is a scary version of Mockingbird. Mm-hmm. Like when Pat's going crazy, you hear like dun 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 dun.
She sings it.
Yeah, she sings it too.
Because she sees that they're scared, so she starts to sing it. But meanwhile, the dad and Sarah are the ones protecting them.
Right. And Ben's like, "You're not being a mother. You're scaring us."
Right.
And then Pat cries by raining inside the house
by thunderstorm.
Well, that's another thing that's never clear. Like, are these just projections on the wall, or are you making... Is it a holodeck? Like, are you... Is it really raining in this house right now?
But also, why an angry thunderstorm for sadness?
And also, like, she's being completely irrational and insane. Why... Just pointing out that you're scaring them, does she, like, go back to normal? I don't, like, it kind of doesn't make sense that she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm gonna miss you.
Well, not only that, but there's a twist ending that, like, at the end, the dad's making waffles or pancakes, and he's like, which one of you kids put chocolate chips in the batter? Like, I didn't do that, and the kid looks over at the screen, and it's Pat, and she's like, oh.
Right, yeah,
I'm still here.
Face.
She's still there, and she's still Katie Sagal. So it's like, where did you? Why did you say goodbye? Where did you go?
I don't understand any of it.
And that's basically Smart House.
It's the best movie ever.
Jump, jump, the house is jumping. We like to end this by doing a little like 1 to 10. Jen, you're the DCOM expert here. On a scale of 1 to 10 Doc Ock arms, how many Doc Ock arms do you give this movie?
Five?
Is this movie better or worse than Xenon?
I like Xenon better, but...
Okay.
I don't know. That's my opinion.
Vin, how would you rank this DCOM?
I would rank it an 8 out of 10 tuna noodle casseroles.
Okay. Do you think it's one... You said at the beginning, this is, you think, the best DCOM.
I think it's like, when you think Disney Channel original movie, I think you think Smart House. I think you think of three movies. You think Xenon, you think Smart House, and you think Cheetah Girls.
I'm so excited for Cheetah Girls.
See, I always think Halloween Town and High School Musical. Because High School Musical was a legitimate phenomenon.
But that came after. Like, Disney Channel original movies, like, had a period of, like, the late 90s, early 2000s.
Right.
Like, a 5-year run where it was, like, a very specific kind of thing.
Did you notice that, I guess, the original version of this was made for old-fashioned TVs? Because now, instead of putting it in widescreen with the black bars at the top and bottom, they zoom into it, which really fucks up all the cinematography because all of the close-ups are way too close and people's, like, heads and, like, foreheads and chins are, like, falling out of the frame. It's very awkwardly put together at this point. It doesn't look good.
No.
At least Xenon had a sort of quirky aesthetic. It was the future. They put some, you know, they put stuff into it. Like, this really... Even the Smart House itself doesn't look technologically advanced. It just looks like a house.
No. It's got a Mac. That's about it.
Yeah. And projection screens.
I would say that I think on a scale of 1 to 10 basketball jerseys or basketball shirts, I'd give this a 4. I like this a lot less than I like Xenon. For a second, I thought that their mom was Aunt Judy. I was like, oh, shit, DCOM Cinematic Universe, but not so. All right, well, then...
What's the next Disney Channel original movie that you're going to be doing?
Not sure. Oh, wait, no, you have an idea.
You're going to do a Cadet Kelly?
I love Hillary Duff. But yes, I don't know. I kind of want to do True Confessions next.
Jen really wants to do a dramatic one.
I really do.
What was it? Taxicab Confessions?
True Confessions? Yeah.
This has been PCMC DCOM 101. I'm joined today by Jen Luttrell and Vin Forte. Guys, thanks for being here.
Bye.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.